Today's Shiz Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chof Beis. We will begin on Daf Kuf Chof Aleph on the Beis, four lines from the bottom. At the end of our previous year, we learned that even though there are certain acts that may not be done on Shabbos, if they're done, the fitumai, somebody's just stepping, and it happens, it becomes mutter. We spoke about stepping on a snake, on insects on Shabbos. And the Gemara continues with such an episode. Abba ba Marta dehu Abba ba Menume. Have a maskebe de Bei Resh Galuzi Zuza. The people, the employees of Resh Galuzi said that he owed money. I saw, so they brought him to the home of Resh Galuzi for Kometzarole. And they were putting him into pain. They were hurting him because he had not paid his debt. Have a Shade Ruka. And there was saliva on the floor, and it was on Shabbos. In fact, from here we see that even on Shabbos, if somebody owes a debt, one may go collect it. Amalei Resh Galuzi, Aisa Ma'anet, so the Resh Galuzi said, bring a vessel, Sechifolei, and cover the saliva. Amalehu, so Abba Bar Marta said, Lo Tzricho, it's not necessary. For Hoch Amar Rabbi Yehuda taught us, Roik, if the saliva on the floor, he could just walk over it, and he need not be concerned that he's doing a malacha when he's stepping on the saliva, the malacha mamarach, that he's smoothing it out on the ground. Amuhu, so when Resh Galuzi saw that Abba Bar Marta is a Talmud Chacham, Tzuvim Rabbananhu, he's a Talmud Chacham, he was able to say this psak halacha, so he said, Shifkua, let him go, free him. And I saw a beautiful pshat from the parish of Mordechai. Resh Galuzi, who was the government authority in those days, they felt that Abba Bar Marta owed taxes and he had not paid his tax bill. Because he didn't pay his tax bill, they imprisoned him. But in those days, as the Gemara says it in more than one place, Masechta Bava Basra as well, the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is exempt from paying the taxes. Abba Bar Marta, who was a Talmud Chacham, did not want, however, to explicitly say that he's a Talmud Chacham and therefore he should be exempt from paying the taxes. And he allowed himself to be imprisoned rather than say that he's a Talmud Chacham and he's exempt. However, when Resh Galuzi saw that he was a Talmud Chacham, he was able to say this psak halacha that clearly represents that he's a Talmud Chacham, said, oh, he's a Talmud Chacham. If he's a Talmud Chacham, he's exempt from paying taxes, and therefore he said he should be released. We've discussed previously in our Masechta and different situations where things may be done or not done on Shabbos. We learned earlier in our Masechta on Daf Mem Dalid about the moving of candelabras on Shabbos. In those days, candelabras were typically made out of pieces, out of pots, and there's a concern that if you're going to carry them, they're going to break, and you're going to put them together. So it says, Amr of Abba, Bakahana Rav Chanina, Pamutos, the candelabras, shall be Rebbe, from the home of Rebbe, Mutal Tatlum Shabbos, may be moved on Shabbos. Amalei Rav Zeira, so he asks, Betintalim Yarachas, only are we talking about candelabras that are so small that they can be carried with one hand? Oy, b'shtei yadayim, even larger candelabras. And again, as the Rishonim point out, Rashi, the Ritva, that we're not talking about a candelabra that's made out of pots. For as we just explained, the candelabra made out of pot may not be moved. Here we're talking about a candelabra that's made out of one piece. And now the question is the heter, only that's a question of muksa. And the question is it only a smaller candelabra that is, and therefore it's not muksa, but a larger candelabra where people typically put it in a specific place, and as we've learned previously, the something that's designated to be in a specific place falls into the category of muksa machmas chsaron kis. Or even larger candelabras are not considered muksa and may be used. Amalei, So Rav Abba said, the heta was only ka'osin shel beis avicha. So the way Rashi learns that they were in his father's home, they used only smaller candelabras, and the smaller candelabras therefore are not considered muksa, but the larger candelabras would not be allowed to be moved because they're considered muksa machm schsar and kish. Tosfos has a different approach, and Tosfos says that the difference is, as we said earlier, if it's made out of parts or looks like it's made out of parts, it's aser. If it doesn't look that way, it would be mutter. V'amar Rav Abba bar Kahana, Rav Chanina, kronis, the wagons that were used to move people, shebeis Rebbe, mutl tatlam b'Shabbos, may be moved on Shabbos. And again, Amale Rav Zeira asked him, m'netolim b'adam echad, are we talking about wagons that are so small that one person could carry them? Oy b'shnei adam, even wagons that need two people to carry them. And again, the same way most Rishonim learn, the same question that we had before is asked here. And the question, of course, is, so why does the Gemara have to have the same dialogue twice about seemingly the same issue? Is a heavy item automatically become muksa? So the Sefer Beged Yesha explains that what Rashi wants, the way Rashi is going to understand, is that perhaps wagons are not the same as candelabras, because wagons were meant to be moved. And therefore the question was, candelabras, maybe over there, there's a distinction between small candelabras and big candelabras, because candelabras are really not something that are meant to be moved. But wagons that are meant to be moved, maybe when we speak about wagons, even if it takes two hands to move the wagon, the halacha should be that they're allowed to be moved, or do we not make any such distinction? Amalei, so he said, again, the only time we could be lenient is kashin shebei savicha, small wagons that could only be moved by one hand. So again, we the Gemara is saying that even wagons are treated the same way as candelabras. V'amar Abba bar Kahana, hita lem Rebbe Chanina lebeis Rebbe. Reb Chanina allowed the people from the home of Rebbe, lishtos yainis b'kronos shel nochri, to drink wine that was transported by a nochri, b'chosem echad, even though that we only had one seal. We obviously know that the wine of an akum is osur because of stem yenom, and the only why we could drink that wine is if it's sealed, that we know that the akum didn't touch the wine. And the question is, how many seals are required? So he said that even one seal is enough. However, v'lo yadana, I'm not exactly certain why. Imishim d'savol k'Rav Elazar. Is it because he follows the opinion of Rav Elazar that holds that one seal is always enough? E mishum imsa de bein asiya, because it was Rebbe, so the Akum would be concerned to tamper with anything that belonged to Rebbe. And that's why by Rebbe's wine, one seal is adequate. By other wine, one seal would not be adequate. Says the Mishnah, Nachri shehid l'kasaner. Our Mishnah now begins to discuss the subject of when a Nachri does melacha on Shabbos, to when and when not may a Jew have benefit from that melacha. So says the Mishnah, Nachri shehid l'kasaner. If a Nachri put on a candle for his own use, Mishtamish l'oir Yisrael, a Yisrael could use that light. Vim b'shvil Yisrael. However, if he put it on behalf of a Jew, then usur, then a Jew can't use that candle because you're not allowed to have a no for melachas nachri on Shabbos. The Rishonim Tosfos already in the very Maskil Mishtamish make a very important point as we approach this Gemara. And they indicate that there are many different Gezeiros Chazal. And there isn't necessary, we need to look at every Gezeiros Chazal independently and not necessarily build from one Gezeiros Chazal to other Gezeiros Chazal. For example, the halacha is that fruit that falls down from a tree may not be eaten on Shabbos, because Chazal were concerned that if we allow you to eat that fruit, you may come detach the fruit deliberately on Shabbos. the same fruit juice that comes out of a fruit on Shabbos, Chazal did not allow us to eat, drink that juice, for they were concerned we may squeeze out juice. Here, we don't find that Chazal said that if we're going to allow you to have benefit from the candle that the Akum put on for himself, you may come to have Hano from candle that the Akum put on your behalf. And the question, of course, is why here did Chazal make Gzeira and here not? And it's really difficult to make hard and fast rule. However, Taisa says that when it comes to Midi Dachila, when it comes to food, the fruit that fell down, the juice that came out, Chazal were stricter. The Hano that Yisrael can't have from a candle that an Akum put on his behalf is not only the Yisrael on whose behalf the Akum put on the candle, but even another Yisrael who the Akum did not put on the candle on his behalf, also may not have any Hano from that candle if it was done on behalf of Yisrael. This Isser is an Isser Drabonon, and the reason it's all included explains the Rajba and the Gzeira of Amir Lo Nochri. Chazal said that we're not allowed to tell an Akum to do Melocha on our behalf in Shabbos, and included in that Halocha is that you're not allowed to benefit from what the Akum does on your behalf in Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah. Mile Mayim Lahashkus Behemtoi. If an Akum took out water, and again the Rishonim explained that certainly referring to a situation which involved taking it from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, Mashka Achrav Yisrael, the Yisrael could use that water. Vimbi Shvil Yisrael, if the Akum took out that water on behalf of Yisrael, then also. The reason the Yisrael could only use the water, but it says Mashka Achrav Yisrael, that only after the Akum first gave water to his animal, then can the Yisrael give water to his animal, because then it's obvious, Rashi says, that it was being done, that the Akum did it on his own behalf. If the Yisrael would use the water first, it would not be obvious that he's doing it, that he did not do it on his own behalf. People think that he did it on the Yisrael's behalf. However, the Bi'ar Locha and Simon Shin Chav Hei, Divrei HaMaskul HaHashkus, says that if it's a circumstance where it's obvious that the Akum did it on his own behalf, then the Yisrael could use the water even before the Akum. The question is, what happens if the Akum took out water on behalf of a Jew? So it's clear that the Mishnah says that that water can't be used on behalf, the Jew can't use that water for his animal. But what about, could the Jew drink the water himself? Rabbeinu Tam says that the Jew for himself could drink the water, because the Jew could always go and drink the water directly from the bear without taking the water from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, since the Akum didn't really accomplish that much when it comes to the Yisrael himself, the Yisrael may drink that water. The Ri disagrees. The Ri says that when it says Lashkus Behemtoi, that the halacha is that the Mishnah is trying to teach us the kula, that when the Akum took out the water on behalf of his own animal, not only may I drink it, but I may even give it to my behemoth. But when the Akum took it out, even if he took it out I can't drink from that water if he took it out on my behalf. Why is it different? Because I would think that Chazal should make exer that even if he took it out for his own animal, he's maybe going to take out more on behalf of my animal. Kamash Malon, that we're not concerned. If he took it out truly for his own animal, we need not be concerned. Again, as I said before, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that what the Akum did involved a Malacha Daraisa of carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. If it would have involved a Malacha Darabonon, the Halacha might be different. Continues the Mishnah.
Oysa Nachri Keves Leirit, but an Akum can make a gangplank to go down from the boat to the sea, and Yared Achav Yisrael. There are, of course, many Surim involved in the Akum building this gangplank, but he's doing it for himself. Vim B'Shvil Yisrael, that's why the Jew could use it afterwards. Vim B'Shvil Yisrael, but if the Akum built it on behalf of the Yisrael, also. It says the Mishnah, Masber Gamliel was a Kainim, Shebaim B'Sfina, Gamliel and this Kainim were traveling on a boat, Vasa Nachri Kevesh, Leirid Boy, and Nachri built this gangplank, V'Yarbar of Gamliel was a Kainim, and Gamliel and the Kainim went down. This is an episode that's actually brought in the Mishnah in Masechta Ervin, Daf Mem Aleph Amabez. There was the Halacha, the Mishnah there is teaching us, is that if a boat arrives on Shabbos, we have to check if it involved traveling in past the Tchum, then you may not leave the boat. However, if it was before Shabbos already within the Tchum, then there's no problem. And the Gemara over there teaches us that Rav Gamliel was able to see with a telescope that the boat was within the Tchum, and that's why he was allowed to go off the boat. But the issue is that the Akum built this gangplank. So we said that since the Akum did the Melacha on behalf of himself, that's why we could be lenient. But however, there's another consideration, and that is that the wood that was used to build this gangplank was muksa. So the Ramban says that even though the wood was muksa, because walking a muksa, just benefiting from muksa, is permitted in Shabbos. And that's why the Magen Avraham says, when it comes to Hilchas Muksa, which is going to be the subject of our next parak, the halacha is, you're allowed to sit a muksa. If you're using muksa without moving it, it's not osur. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, however, quotes the Rashba that disagrees. It says, you're allowed to touch muksa if you won't move it, but you're not allowed to use muksa. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger is going to have to learn that this wood, the wood that was used to build this gangplank, was obviously wood that was prepared before Shabbos that wasn't muksa. Begins the Gemara. So we had in our Mishnah three different situations where you could have hanor from the melacha of an akum. And the question is, of course, why do we have to have three different situations to teach us the same din? The tricha. The ashminin ner, if we would only have the halacha stated by a candle, there is a reason to be particularly lenient. Mishun the ner lemechad, ner lemeya. The candle, the light that the akum puts on, it's the same light it's the same life for one person or for many people. Avamayim, but when it comes to taking out water, where there is a concern that if we're going to allow you to use the water that the Akum takes out, even though he took it out for his own benefit, Dilma Osalafushi, the water that he uses for himself is not the water that I'm going to use. So we need to perhaps be concerned that the Akum is going to take out more water, Bishvil Yisrael, teaches us it's not necessarily. On the other hand, if the Mishnah would have only told us the case of Ner, of Mayim and not Ner, we would think that by Ner, even if the Akum put it on for his own benefit and for the benefit of Yisrael, the halacha is that Yisrael should be allowed to benefit from it. Kamash Malan, that if the Akum did it on behalf of Yisrael, even though he also did it for his own benefit, and it's the same act, it's one candle, teaches us the Rambam in Pirush and Mishnayis, that would be Osir. However, the Rashba disagrees. And the Rashba says that if an Akum does something, and it's one act, and what he did was on behalf of himself, and also on behalf of Yisrael, where there's no chash of Shema Yarba, it's just putting on one candle, then the Jew could benefit from that candle. So now, according to the Rashba, the way to understand the Mishnah is if the Mishnah would have only told us the case of Mayim, we would think that by a behema, we're allowed to be lenient because there's a concern of Tzar Ba'alei Chayim. But in other situations, like the candle, where there is no Tzar Ba'alei Chayim, maybe we should not necessarily be lenient. That's why the Mishnah had to tell us that in all circumstances, if it wasn't done on behalf of the Yisrael, we have a right to be lenient. V'kevesh, ask the Gemara, what about the story of the gangplank? Lomeli, why was that needed to be cited? What is the chiddush in that? Answers the Gemara, there is no chiddush in that. The reason it was cited in our Mishnah is only because Masader Gamaliel was the Kain of Kamashmalon. He wanted to tell us that this was actually practiced halach lemaisa at that time. Tanur Rabbanan teaches us the Braisa. Nochri shaliket asovim. If a Nochri collected grass on Shabbos to feed his animal, Mal chal achrav Yisrael, the Jew could use the leftover grass to feed his animal. However, v'im b'shvil Yisrael, if he cut that grass on behalf of Yisrael, osur. And similarly, mile mayim lahashkus behemtoi, if an Akum took water from Shus HaYokot to Shus Rabim on behalf of his own animal, Mashkev Achrav Yisrael, the Yisrael could use that water for his own animal. However, Vim Bishvil Yisrael, if the Akum took that water out specifically for a Jew, then the Yisrael can't use that water. B'medvar Mamurim, when is the halacha stated that if he did it for his own benefit, the Yisrael could have Hanoah? That's only She'em Makiroi, when the Akum does not know this Jew. Aval Makiroi, if the Akum knows this Jew, Osir, then the halacha will be that the Jew can benefit from that and that Maisa, because we have to always be concerned that he's doing it on behalf of the Jew. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that indeed the halacha? Somebody could put his animal on top of grass on Shabbos, even though it's pulling the grass from the ground, because the animal is not doing it on my behalf. Because we're concerned that the person is going to pick up the muksa and give it to the animal. Now, every grass that the Akum pulled out on Shabbos is by definition muksa. So why can we ever allow our animals to eat from the grass that the Akum pulled out on Shabbos? And says the Gemara that we're not actually putting our animal on the grass and that it should be eat, because there we indeed have to be concerned about muksa. Here we're talking about the kamla ba'apa. The person is standing in front of the animal, and he's just the animal, because I'm standing there and I'm blocking it from going in a different direction, will go onto the grass. Vazlihi, and it goes by itself, vaychelas, and it eats from the grass. So since I didn't give it to eat, therefore it's not considered that I violated Hilchus Muksa. So from here we see, Tosfos quotes a Mechilta. We quoted in our previous shiur that the pasuk says "Laman yanuach sharcha v'chamacha," which means that I'm not allowed to have benefit from malacha that my animal does, but my animal itself is not obligated in Hilchus Shabbos. It's really my obligation, and the reason this is an important question is because, as the Shal Sechuvas Eretzvi, Chelik Aleph, Simon Pei Gimel discusses, if I live in one place and my animals that I own live in a different place, and the question comes up, for me and the time zones that I and my animal are not the same, what is the halacha? According whose time zone do we follow in Hilchus Shabbos? If we say that the obligation of the animal not being Michal Shabbos is really an extension of my obligation, it could be that it's only where I live, not it follows where I live, not where the animal is. On the other hand, Shabbos is always dependent on where you actually are. Says the Gemara, Amamar, B'madvar Murim, as we just quoted the Braisa, that says, when can I benefit from the Melachim of Akum? Shem Akiroi, where I don't know that Akum. Ava Makiroi, if I know that Akum, Osir. Says the Gemara, going back to the episode that was cited in our Mishnah, Rav Gamliel went down the gangplank that was built by the Akum, Makiroi Hava, and the And the Akam must have certainly known Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, as the Rishonim explain, the Ritva explains, was a very prominent individual. Certainly all the Akam knew Rabbi Gamliel, and yet Rabbi Gamliel was allowed to use that gangplank. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Shloi b'fan of Hava. Rabbi Gamliel wasn't there when that was built, and since he wasn't there when it was built, it certainly wasn't built on his behalf. Rav Amar, Afilu Tema b'fanav. It could be that Gamliel was there. And Gamliel certainly was a person that the Akam knew about. But we have the concept that we mentioned earlier, Ne le'echod, ne le'meya, that there was no extra exertion done in building that gangplank on behalf of Gamliel. So according to the Maskon of the Gemara, we have to be concerned for Makiroi, but we only have to be concerned about Makiroi where extra work is involved, like picking up the grass. So if he knows him, we have to be concerned that he cut extra grass on his behalf. But in a situation where he doesn't know him, where no extra work is involved, even Makiroi, the halacha is that it's mutter. And Taisa says that there's really no machloikis, Abaya and Rava. That Rava will agree to Abaya that if it was done shloi b'fnei Yisrael, even in a malacha that could involve extra exertion, but if the Jew is not there, we need not be concerned. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Amalam Gamliel, hoyav shloi b'fneinu asop, neiriba. So we see that the only reason they were allowed to go down was because it was not done in front of them, not because of the svar of ner le'echad le'ev le'meya. Says the Gemara, Ema, what Rabbi Gamliel meant to say was, Horva saw, since the Akam already did it, and there's obviously no extra exertion that was done on our behalf, therefore, Neridba, we could go down. Toshma asked the Gemara, the Mishnah says, here, you have a city, Yisrael and Nachram Darimba, that both Yisrael and Nachram live in that city, and there was a bathhouse that was, and they heated the water on Shabbos. The halacha is, Imroiv Nachrim, if most of the people living in that city are Akum, Mutar Lechatz Bo Miyad, so we can't go into the bathhouse, obviously, on Shabbos, but we could go into that bathhouse immediately on Matzah Shabbos, Imroiv Yisrael. However, if most of the people living in that city, Israel, Yamtim, not only, obviously, may we not go into that bathhouse on Shabbos, but even Matzah Shabbos, we have to wait the amount of time, Kadesh Shichamu Chamim, the amount of time it would take to warm up the water, so we should not have any benefit from a malacha that was done on Shabbos for Yisrael. Now, here we're talking about a situation where the Akam heated up the bathhouse, because if the city is mostly Jews, it's considered that the Himakir, he knows the Jews. Now, Rava said that when there's Nela Echad, Nela Meya, we could be lenient. So even if it's mostly Jews, and even if the Akam obviously knows the Jews, it's the same warming up for if it was for Akam himself or for the Jews. And Abaya has said, if he did the malacha, shloi b'fanav his mutter. So obviously, over here, when the bathhouse, when this was warmed up, the halacha is that it also should be lenient. Because Rabbi said, whenever it's shloi b'fanav, we could be lenient. And here was obviously shloi b'fanav. It's also important to point out that the Meiri says that when we speak about Roiv Yisrael, it's not only a number that's counted in quantity. We also have to look at quality. And if there's one Jew in town who's so much more choshev than everybody else in the town, then even though numerically there may be more Akum, we have to be machmer. Answers the Gemara. There, by Americans, it's entirely different. When it comes to warming up a bathhouse, they look at who are the people that are going to use this bathhouse. And therefore, if most of the people are going to use this bathhouse are Jews, it doesn't make a difference if the Akam are going to use it as well. we look at who it was done for, and most of the people are Jews, we assume that, therefore the halacha says it means that it was done on behalf of Jews, and if it was done on behalf of Jews, we can't use that bathhouse. Toshma, the Braisa says, Nera dogma mesiba, if an Akum put on a candle at a party, Imroiv Nachrim, if most of the people attending that party are Nachrim Mutlash Damsh Loiroi, Imroiv Yisrael, if mostly Jews are attending, Osa. Mechza, mechza, if it's half and half, also. Now, here, again, we have the concept that Rava taught us of ne'el echa, ne'el emeya. So what's the difference if Jews are benefiting from it also? He did it for the Akum. Answers the Gemara Hosam Nami, there also, the Chimidliki, when they put on the candle, what they intend to do is adata druba midliki. They put it on for the majority. And if most of the people are Jewish, therefore, we're saying it was done on behalf of the Yisraelim, and you can't be makel. And certainly, Abaya, if it was done before of, would be machmer. Says the Gemara, Shmuel ikel lebei oven. Shmuel came to the home of oven from the city of Tyron. Asahu nachri, and Akram came, adlik sharga, and he put on a candle. Adrin Shmuel ape, and Shmuel turned around because he did not want to have any benefit from that candle. Kivin the chazer, Daisi Shtar, where once Shmuel saw that the Akum brought a document, the Kakari, and he was reading that document at that candlelight. Omer, so Shmuel said, Adata the Nafshi Hudadlik. It's obvious that he lit it for his own benefit. Adrina Ahila Ape, so then he turned around and he said, Gabishagra, and he had benefit because that the Akum certainly did it on his own behalf. And certainly, as we're learning, it's talking about a candle. And by a candle, there's a concept of Ner Le'echod, Ner Le'meya. It's on his own behalf. And therefore, the Jew could benefit from that lighting of candle. Hanuloch Kol Kisrei, Hanuloch Kol Kisrei, Hanuloch Kol Kisrei. We begin, Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach, Perek Kol HaKelim. Perek Kol HaKelim comes back to a subject that we discussed earlier, and that is the subject of muksum. As we discussed earlier, Chazal made a gzera of muksa. Certain objects are muksa on Shabbos and may not be moved under most circumstances. The reason why Chazal made muksa. So they made the Gzeira Muksa. So the Ravid explains that Chazal made the Gzeira Muksa because of Tiltal. As we've learned so many times in Amasechta, Chazal were particularly concerned about the Melach of Aitzah, and therefore they wanted to limit what could be moved and what could not be moved on Shabbos, because the more that objects could be touched and moved on Shabbos, the more of a concern that there's going to be Haitzah on Shabbos. The Rambam in Perek Chof Dalet of Hilchah Shabbos, Perek Halacha Yud Beis and Halacha Yud Gimel, gives three more reasons why Chazal made the Gzeir of Muksa. One is that Chazal didn't want that Shabbos should be like every other day of the week, and people will start moving objects back and forth on Shabbos by limiting what could be moved on Shabbos. Chazal said that we will not treat Shabbos like a weekday. Another reason is, as we're going to learn, one of the types of muksa is a kli shemalach del iser, a keli that's primarily used for something that may not be done in Shabbos. And Chazal wanted to institute that muksa because Chazal were concerned that if you're going to be allowed to move a keli shemalach del iser, you may come to actually use it to do something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Another reason is Chazal, says the Rambam, wanted to have a shvisa ha nikeres. We wanted the Shabbos should be very noticeable. And by again limiting what we could move and what we could touch on Shabbos, not touch, move, and use, we're going to have Shabbos will be noticeably different than every day of the week. We're going to learn that there are different types of muksa. There's something which is a keli, which is a muksamach maskufa, something which is inherently muksa, like money. We have something which is, as we discussed earlier in our shir, muksamach maskufa kis. Somebody designates this to be used in a specific, that to, not to be touched, not to be moved. We had earlier in our shiurim, as recently as well, the concept of the muksamach masmias, something that people don't touch or move because they're mias. And of course, as we're going to learn in our Mishnah, we're going to have keli shemalach delisser, a keli that is primarily, as we just mentioned, used for non-permitted use on Shabbos. We're going to mitzvashem in our coming shiurim discuss the history of what was and wasn't included in the gzeira muksa, and when it was made, and why it was made. But clearly, the gzeira of muksa, as we saw earlier in our masechta on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, goes back very far. Because remember, the Gemara says that Dovra Melech was nifter on Shabbos, and Shlomo Melech sent a shaila to the Beis Medrash that Dovra Melech is laying out in the sun, and a mace, a dead person, is muksa, and how could I be able to move this? How could I be able to move my father to out of Kavod HaMeis? So we see that muksa was a gzeira that was here from a very long time. And says the Mishnah, Kol HaKelim, all vessels that have doors covering, Nitalim b'Shabbos, they may be moved on Shabbos, but the Dosaseim, and the doors, even if they're attached, detached, can be moved along with them. They're not considered muksa. Avpi shenasparku, even though they're not attached. So once they're not attached, they're not really usable together with the keli. They're still not considered muksa. Ein doim l'dalsis abayis. We can't compare the doors of a keli to the door of a home. Lefi einam in a muchen. The doors of a home are not considered muchen. They're considered muksa. Because the doors of a home are made to be attached to the home. And the home is not considered a keli. So if the home is not considered a keli, the door that's meant to be attached to that home is also not a keli. However, the door of a keli, the lid of a keli, is meant to be part of the house, of the keli, and since it's meant to be part of the house, part of the keli, it has all of the dinim of the keli. And if the keli is not muksa, the dalos of it is also not muksa. Now, the Gemara, the Mishnah, gives us a list of different kelim that are probably klisha malach de lisser, but could be used, that can be moved when I have a permitted use, when I'm using it for permitted use. Not on the corners. A person could take a hammer. A hammer is a kli shemalach delisser. But I could take it lefatzibayis agoizim to crack open nuts. Kardum. Somebody could take a hatchet lachtibayis advela to cut the figs that are pressed together. Megera. A saw can be taken logabayis agvina to slice cheese. Magrefa. A shovel could be taken ligrafayis agroigris to scoop up the dried figs that are at the bottom of a barrel. As a harachas, a shovel, vesamalges, or pitchfork, losses of the cotton, if you want to use them to put food to feed a child. As a kush, vesakarka, different part of the weaving equipment that look like a long stick, a long toothpick. Litchaboy, you could use it to put fruit on it. Machot shayad, a needle, little by sakoitz, to take out a splinter. Vesakoyim, the sack maker's needle, the different size needle, liftach by satellites, could be used as a key. So even though all of these are kli shemalach delisser, but when they're used for permitted purpose, then you can move them on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, kol ha-kelim nitalim, we learned that all kelim may be moved on Shabbos with their doors. Vapi shen nesparku b'Shabbos, and that means even though they were detached on Shabbos, we could still move the doors. And what is the deek in the Mishnah? That certainly if they were detached during the week, then certainly I'd be allowed to carry them. Ask the Gemara, we've learned when we speak about muksa, there's a very important concept. And that is the concept of migadis katsoil ben eshmoshes is katsoil kula yoima. The defining moment to determine if this object is or isn't muksa is ben eshmoshes, as Shabbos begins. So the Gemara says, if the door only asks, if the door only got detached on Shabbos, so ben eshmoshes, when Shabbos began, it was attached to the keli. Since at that point it was attached to the keli, if the keli is not muksa, the door is also not muksa. However, if the door already became detached, asked the Gemara, before Shabbos, so then the halacha ought to be that it was separate and became muksa, and maybe then it would be muksa on Shabbos. At the rabbi, asked the Gemara, but Shabbos, if they only became detached on Shabbos, so there we could say the svara of mechon al gabavim, since they were part of the keli as Shabbos began, and the keli is not a muksa de keli, so the door is not a muksa de door. However, if they became detached b'chol, so then a mechon al gabavim, and they were muks before Shabbos, maybe they should remain muks on Shabbos. Oh well, says the Gemara, Abaya says hachikomer. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kol akelim nitolim b'Shabbos, or kelim may be removed on Shabbos, which kelim which are not muksa, and not only may they be moved, the doors also may be moved, and teaches us the Mishnah that not only if that happened on Shabbos is that the halacha, but the halacha is api shnesparku b'chol, even though they got detached during the week, still the halacha is the nitolim b'Shabbos, they could be removed on Shabbos because they're all considered part of the keli. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Del Shasheda, the Shatev, the Shamigdal, the various stores of the different kelim, noitlim, can be removed on Shabbos, avaloi machsirin, but they can't be put back. The Shalul Shatana Goylim, but the door of a chicken coop, loi noitlim, avaloi machsirin, may not be removed nor reinserted on Shabbos. Comments the Gemara. Bishlam shalov shaltan goylem, the door of a chicken coop can't be taken off or put on. Very understandable. Kasover, the tan of this brisa holds, kiven the mechaber ba'ara, since the chicken coop is connected to the ground, when you put on or take off the door, you have the concern of yesh binyan b'karka, yesh stira b'karka, there's a problem of binyan and stira. Let's understand that halacha, asked the Gemara. My kasover, exactly what does this Tana hold? If he's of the opinion that there's a concern of binyan b'kelim and yesh stira b'kelim, if he holds yesh binyan b'kelim, that there's a problem of binyan b'kelim, and that's why the halacha is you're not allowed to put him in on Shabbos. But there's also halacha, therefore, there would also therefore be halacha of yestir b'kelim. So how can we take him off? If on the other hand you hold ain't stir b'kelim, since it's only a keli, we don't have this consideration, so then there's ain't binyan b'kelim. Why can't they be reinserted? Amar Abaya, says Abaya, la'olam kusav yesh binyan b'kelim v'yestir b'kelim. He holds that there is a problem of binyan and stir and kelim. And what are we talking about here? V'shenitlu. We're talking about a case where they were removed before, so I'm not taking them out. And the Bryce is teaching us that these doors that were removed from before may not be reinserted on Shabbos because there's a malacha of binyan or there's a malacha of makom patish. Amalei Rava asks Rava, I can't accept your explanation of this Bryce. Chodor, the Bryce teaches us clearly noitlin kama. The Bryce says, I may take them out. It doesn't say nitolim that were already removed. Noitlin, it says we may remove them. Void, my avaloi machsirim. When it says avaloi machsirim, isn't that an indication if it's already removed, why does it say avo? It should have said, if they're already removed, loi machsirim, I can't put them in. It must be that avo is talking that I took them out, but I can't put them back. Elam Rava says, Rava, the town of this Bryce actually holds ein binyan b'kelim ve'ein stira b'kelim. There is no issue of binyan and stira only in kelim. So if so, just like I'm allowed to take it out, why may I not put it back in? For a new gzeira. Gzeira shem yitka. Chazal were concerned that when we'll put them back in, we'll put it in very tightly. And therefore, that would be osur. What would be the isur? So Rashi says when you put it in that way, that's considered makom patish. The Ran
has a different approach. The Rant says that even though the halacha is that ain't binyan bekelim, Rav is teaching us that ain't binyan bekelim, ain't steer bekelim, says the Rant, that's only when you're just fixing an existing keli. But when you're creating a keli from scratch, that is, even Rav will agree that there's a problem. So taking out the door ain't binyan vein steer bekelim. But if the door is completely removed and you're putting it back, so you're creating a keli. Creating a keli, everybody will agree, is osur, and that's why the Braisa says you can't reinsert the door of the Sheita Teva v'Migdol.